All right, if you have your Bibles, we're reading this morning from 1 John 4. It's 1 John 4, and we'll start at verse 7. And if you don't have your Bibles, it's okay. We'll have it up on the screen for you. But just as a little bit of a recap, we've been doing this series, Love One Another. It's a series just about relationships, just because this is a really difficult thing, actually. We're talking about love. We're talking about the Jesus type of love. So this actually should be all these messages should be really challenging, more challenging than, I guess, what you should be expecting, I guess. It's just that when we talk about love, we're not talking about, like, dancing through a field of flowers, frolicking together with, like, little daisies in our hair or something like that. When we talk about the love, this is the Jesus type of love, which means it's sacrificial and it's selfless. It gives us of itself, and this is the example that Jesus sets for us. And so love is actually really difficult. You know, it's easy to love people when people love you in return, but man, for the people that you maybe don't like, or the people that you have a hard time getting along with, or even maybe an enemy, love is difficult. And Jesus is talking about loving those who persecute you and praying for those who have hurt you, and it's just like, yeah, right, thanks, I don't want to do that. But Jesus comes and he changes everything. I mean, we're talking about 1,500 years of Mosaic law, where it's all about how you live up to God. And so it's this whole vertical experience where it's just between me and God. How do I have eternal life? How do I have this peaceful and present connection with Yahweh? How do I get this right? This is what they're all asking. And Jesus is saying, listen, if you want to get this right, if you want to get the vertical right of loving God, it's all about how you love your neighbor. And he gives us this new command. I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. And on the two commands, he says, where it's about loving God and loving people, you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And a second is like it. Not second in importance, just second in sequence. The second is, I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. On these two do rest all the law and the prophets. And Jesus is saying, like, listen, and we'll read it in 1 John, you can't say that you love God if you don't love your neighbor. You can't say that you obey the first commandment if you violate the second. It's like, Jesus says, what you do to the least of these, you do it to me. And so it's not just about how we love God, though it's how we love other people. And this, if we're going to get the vertical right, it's all about getting the horizontal right. You guys with me this morning? And so this is from 1 John 4, starting at verse 7. He says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atonement for our sins. Over here, it's going to say the word propitiation at the bottom here. Propitiation for our sins. I want you to just understand something really quickly before we move on, is that this word propitiation is not a translation. It is a substitution. Because it is a substitution for the translation, it is a complete misdirection. Okay? The word propitiation is a Greek term that actually means to appease the wrath of an angry God. But that's not who God is. The correct translation is atonement, which means at-one-ment. It's about bringing two parties together in relationship, which ties into who God is. He's a God of love, and he's a God of relationship. You guys, what? Good so far, okay? It says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. So Jesus, we even see John making it not about the vertical. He's making it all about the horizontal, how we relate to one another. And so this message is going to be a little bit different in that I usually bring like one specific point and kind of build layers and kind of drive home one point. I'm going to have a number of different points. I want to talk about loyalty. I want to talk about gossip and slander. But ultimately, we're going to be talking about this golden rule that Jesus gives, which is to treat people the way you want to be treated. All right? You guys good? Good. We're going to do it anyway. So here we go. you know, when we were fixing up the church last year, this is our Flemington location. We had a grand opening. It was September 23rd, 2018. And we were getting the building ready. There was a lot of work that we put into it. And we put these signs out front. And so there was these big vinyl 4x8 signs. We had two of them that I had knocked these big posts, these metal stakes into the ground to hold this sign up. I was using an axe, and there were blisters galore. So I was using the bottom part of the axe. And I just remember walking down to the street with this axe in hand and thinking, man, it'd be really weird for the drivers to be seeing me with an axe, you know? And then the Google car drove by, right? And no joke, the Google car drove by as I'm holding this axe in my hand. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's going to be there for the next 3 years. But I've been like Googling just to make sure that I'm not there because, man, how like unattractive would that be for a church, you know? And there's the pastor with an axe, you know? And it was the yellow handle and everything, like holding an axe, walking down, like that's the axe church over there. And you walk in and there's like the hosting team has axes. Like that wouldn't just go down well. But, excuse me. A few weeks ago, I get this call from Joseph RC. He's one of our drummers, and he does the youth ministry, and he does the Flemington Connect group and a bunch of other things. Joseph calls me, and he says, yo, there's a dead deer by the sign in Flemington on our property, and we got to get rid of this. So I was like, all right, I'll meet you down there. So I drove over to the Flemington campus, and this dead deer is lying there. We get out the lawnmower, and we tie this deer to the lawnmower. Don't, just bear with me, okay? I'm going to bring this all back, okay? Everyone's like, anyway. And so I'm driving this lawnmower with this deer, like, you know, behind me. And I'm thinking to myself, man, it'd be terrible if the Google car drove by right now. And sure enough, no, he didn't. But as I came back to talk with Joseph and Damon, his son who had come along, they both go, man, it'd been so funny if the Google car had driven by. I was like, I was thinking the same thing. How is it that we all were thinking the same thing at the same time? But I drove this deer to the back of the church property. Don't go back there. And I just untied it there. And there's a big property. There's 26 acres. But Joseph, all of a sudden I get a phone call. Damon's with me. We're untying this deer. And I get this phone call, and it's Joseph, and I'm like, Joseph, I was like, what's up, man? Because he's in the car. He has had a foot injury, so he's waiting there. He's like, dude, you got to get out of there. There's a bear. I was like, and he's on painkillers right now, so I don't really know, like, you know. And, yeah. Wait, did we get that on recording? Anyway, so he's like, no, man, there is a bear. You have to get out of there. And so don't let your kids go in the woods today, all right, when you go back there, when we go to the church. You'll be in its first a big surprise. So I'm with Damon, and I go, dude, there's a bear. He just runs. He just runs, and he just leaves me, right? And I'm like, all right, fine. So I'm, like, untying this thing as quickly as I can. I jump on the lawnmower, like, you know. And so, like, I get out of the woods, and then Joseph's like, yeah, there's a bear. I was like, oh, man. I was like, how big was that? He's like, well, it was a cub. I was like, ah. He's like, it was just a cub. He's like, yeah, but where there's a cub, there's always a mama, right? I was like, all right, yeah, that's true. So there's this mama bear, and you don't want the mama bear to think that you've messed with this baby cub. But I was thinking just in terms of our this series that we're doing on loving one another. This is my segue into the message, but well done, me. So look, we've been doing this thing on loving people and how important this is. This is the new commandment that Jesus gave us, to love your neighbor as yourself. And I was just thinking, you know, I think we all have a mama bear or papa bear within us when it comes to our own children. Do you guys have that? Okay, maybe it's just me. But, like, I certainly do. And like, if someone messes with my kids, like, there's this mama bear. There's not a mama bear. But there's a papa bear that, like, comes out in me. And you know, like hate is a really strong word, which is I try to, like, seldom use, like, the word hate, right? It's because it's a very strong word. There are a lot of things I dislike. But I use hate for, like, you know, there's some vegetables that I hate, right? Like, I hate some vegetables. And, you know, I hate shopping. Right, I hate it when people leave their grocery cart in the center of the aisle, right, and they just leave it there, and I'm like, goodbye, you know, and I just push it, and I don't really do that, okay, but I, you know, there's that temptation to do that, and then, or like, I know, I hate, maybe I use this word a lot more than I thought, you know, like, I hate certain people's driving skills. I really do. Like, there are a lot of people that just don't know how to drive. Maybe that's some of you, but I still love you, but there's just some things I maybe hate about you. And then like, you know, I hate it when people think they have rhythm but play tambourines. Like, I don't know. Like, this is something I just don't like. I just hate that. I grew up in a church where people would just play tambourines in the audience. That will never happen here. Okay? All right. As a musician, like I just like the it's offbeat, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't focus, and it just throws it all off for me. So if you bring a tambourine in here, this is not the church for you. Okay. So, but you know, as I get older, I've come to realize that there are certain people in life that I just don't like. You know, like I didn't use the word hate, but I just don't like. You know, And maybe you've experienced that as well, or maybe it's just me. But I'm not here to claim perfection. No one's perfect, okay? And I think it's really important that we can all admit to ourselves that we all have a lot of work to do on ourselves, okay? I mean, I have a lot of work to do, clearly. Amen. Pastor Phil believes in me that I have a lot of work to do as well. And he would know. So, There is this papa bear instinct that comes out in me, and it's come out a little bit stronger in me as I've gotten older, but especially when it comes to people who mistreat my kids. Like, if a kid, or my wife, or people that I'm loyal to, like, I just, I don't like it, right? I'm going to respond. You're going to hear from me, okay? And there's some kids that, like, if a kid at school, like, hurts one of my kids emotionally or physically, I struggle with the right reaction, right? Like, I gotta, like, simmer down, calm down a little bit, and, you know, I want to be rude, but I'm not gonna be rude. You know, there's this little girl that was bullying my daughter a few years ago. Do I mind if her parents hear this message? I do not, you know? And so, like, it bugs me. There are certain teachers that I'm not cool with, and if you're a teacher, God bless you, you deal with a lot of stuff, but I'm talking about my kids, right? These are my kids. And so there's some teachers that I'm not cool with, you know. Maybe this sounds juvenile, maybe, you know. Do I mind if those teachers hear this message? No, okay. Do I have work to do? Absolutely, okay. I absolutely have work to do. And I understand that. But we're talking about people who you love. And it's about being loyal to the people in your life. And I think that loyalty is everything when it comes to relationships. I mean, and I guess the question for you this morning is, who are you loyal to? You know, I think the danger that exists when we talk about the Jesus type of love, which is so sacrificial and so selfless, is that in our attempt to love others the way Jesus commands us to, we can neglect those closest to us. And I think that love, it ultimately needs to start with your wife, with your husband, and with your children. Okay, you guys with me? All right? People end up spreading their love thin when they're trying to be loyal to everyone. And it just doesn't work that way. There's only a certain amount of people that you can actually be really close, decent friends with. Beyond that, we'll talk about beyond that. But, you know, in some of the jobs that we have, like my job in particular, Pastor Phil's job, it's very emotionally draining. You know, there are a lot of people with a lot of problems. I'm hearing people's problems. I know of three people who have been in and out of hospital recently. You know, we're visiting people. It can be very emotionally draining, and I don't want to give my own family leftovers. Are you hearing me? Like, and sometimes we can do that, and sometimes we spread our love thin because we're trying to be loyal to everybody. We're trying to show the love of Jesus to everybody, but may you love wholeheartedly, and may you prioritize those in your life that you are loyal to. You guys with me? Okay, this is just so important because otherwise what we end up doing is spreading our love thin. Proverbs 18:24, it says, a man of many companions may come to ruin. Another translation states that he who has many friends is a bad friend. You know, I don't care. You know, you can go onto your social media all you want, and you can go onto your Facebook and Instagram and all those things that are right there at your disposal. But I just want you to know, all those people that you may be connected to, they're not your friends. They're not your friends. I mean, you can have maybe like one or two, three decent friends outside of your immediate family. But beyond that, I mean, even look at the life of Jesus. It's like he has the 120 with the disciples, and then it breaks down and breaks down, and then he's got the 12, right? His 12 disciples, and then he's got the three, Peter, James, and John, and then there's the one, John. It's like there was this level of friendship that occurs and this level of loyalty. I mean, John says, okay, you're going to be taking care of my mom now. It's like, wow, thanks. Okay, so like, you know, but I'm just saying, like, there was this level of loyalty and friendship that existed between those two. And so studies show that, you know, you can only be friends with so many people. Beyond that, we just end up spreading our love thin. You just can't be friends with everyone. This making sense? And so, and you know, there's a great thing on this on your phones. If you ever have done this before, you just hold the side button down like this, right? And all of a sudden this thing comes up and you just swipe it, and it turns your phone off. And some of you need to do that, because it's like you're trying to love people and you're trying to talk with your kids, and all of a sudden it's just like this cyber leash and people want you. And I just gotta like, whoop, I'm gonna turn off my phone, okay? Don't need to talk to you right now, because I'm gonna be loyal to my children. I'm gonna be loyal to my wife. You guys with me? It's so important that we don't spread our love thin like that, okay? You guys good? And it's an amazing thing, because there's all these people on social media that you can be talking to and everything, and they don't really care. But we can be, while you're there busy here, you've got all the people around you that are so close to you that you can be a brother, a sister, friend, or a father, or a mother too, that need you. And so don't be here, be here. Good? Okay. And you know, beyond those that you're loyal to, when it comes to loving others, it's really just about treating people the way you want to be treated. It really kind of boils down to the golden rule that Jesus talks about. Like, if you want people to give you the benefit of the doubt, give people the benefit of the doubt. If you want people to respect your time, respect their time. We're going to talk about boundaries next week. If you want people to respect your no, respect their no. You know, it's not about, well, if this is right for me. If they're saying no, consider what's right for them. Respect their no if they say no. If you want people to respect when you say no, respect when other people say no. You know, if you want people to go the extra mile for you, make sure you go the extra mile for them. We are the church. We're meant to lead the way forward for the world. Before Christianity was called the way. People of the way believe that they possessed and they stewarded the way forward for the world. What's the way forward for the world? Jesus gave us one command. I want you to love people the way I've loved you. That's the way forward for the world. Don't wait for people to get their act together. Don't wait for them to start treating you nicely. You get your act together. You lead the way. That's what the church is meant to be. Jesus did not wait for us to get our act together. People were pulling out his beard, spitting on him, humiliating him, whipping him, beating him, and he's on the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I mean, the act of forgiveness there is unbelievable. It just blows my mind. You know, and we have to keep this in mind when we talk about other people. I mean, Jesus is even saying, You know what? If someone's mean to you, just be kind to them. Love them. It'd be like heaping burning coals on their head. It's just people who can't receive love, the love of God, right? It's gonna feel like hell. But he's just saying, like, listen, I just love people. Don't wait for them to get their act together. Don't wait for them to be nice. You just don't return evil with evil. Return evil with good. It's about loving people. And it's not about waiting for people to get their act together. You lead the way. May it start within our own social circles. Amen. Okay? You know, if I want people to speak well of me, I'm going to make sure I speak well of other people. And I'm going to make sure that I know when to keep my mouth shut. We're teaching our kids this. You should teach your kids this too. Okay? But the lesson is this. God gave you two ears and one mouth, and you should listen twice as much as you speak. And that goes for all of you. All right? I'm serious. This is an important lesson that we need to learn. And here's the thing, is that gossip and slander, I'm moving from loyalty to gossip and slander. Well done. Gossip and slander is just as rife within the church as it is in the world. It really is. It just takes on a different flavor, I think, in the church. And I think that gossip and slander in the church is way worse than what's out there in the world. Because out in the world, they're like, I don't like you. It's like, welcome to the Northeast, right? And they're just so honest. But here in church, it's a little bit different, you know? And this is the way gossip and slander in the church plays out. And you probably have experienced this before. First, they'll come up to you and they'll look. Make sure no one's listening, right? And then they'll say, I'm only telling you this so you can pray about it, right? Like, that's what they say. I'm only going to say this so that you can pray about it. And now it's like, now you have license to kill, right? And so they say, I'm only telling you this so you can pray about it. And then they go and they assassinate somebody's character, right? I mean, and it's just absolutely terrible. And this is how slander is, slander and gossip. Slander is when you speak ill of someone and it's dishonest and you're just trying to bring the person down and it causes a rip in people's relationships with that person, and it's just absolutely terrible. Gossip, on the flip side, can be truthful. But gossip is when you tell someone something that they have no authority to fix. That makes sense? Gossip is when you tell someone something that they have no authority to fix. So, if my neighbor is being robbed, I'm not going to go to my other neighbor and be like, yo, he's being robbed over there. No, that'd be terrible. Like, you wouldn't do that, right? You would be like, you would call the authorities because they have the authority to fix it. Or, you know, if one of my kids is hurting themselves somehow and I don't know about it, don't go and tell some other parent about it. Come and tell me because I have the authority to fix the problem. All right? And so you don't go telling someone else. You go and tell the authorities. If you're at work, you know, if someone comes to you and, like, a coworker and talks trash about someone or gossips about this and that's happening, like, it's none of your business. And if you want the problem fixed, you need to go to the boss and talk to him about it. That's the way this works, okay? Well, gossip is when you tell someone something that they have no authority to fix. And I've got a few ways that you can, when people come to you with gossip and slander, it's really important that we cut this out, okay? And so do we have the slides for that? Are they all together? Are they just, like, in a clump or just one by one? There you go. You did a great job. Good job, you. So, if someone comes to you and brings you gossip and slander, this is what you can say. I'm not in authority. Okay? You can tell them that. Like, you have to let them know, like, okay, I'm not in the authority over this. If you actually really want this situation fixed, you need to go to the authority. Go to the person responsible. Go to the one who actually can fix this. And let them know, I'm not in authority. You're not in authority. But you can go to the one who is, and we can fix the problem. All right? Number two, you could say this. Sometimes you just have to be really direct with people. This is none of your business. And this is none of my business, nor is it your business, okay? It's really important. Sometimes people just, sometimes just need you to be absolutely direct. This is the Northeast, so just, you know, everyone's like this anyway. Everyone's really direct. You should be used to this by now, okay? Come on, this is Jersey. So this is none of your business. This is none of my business, okay? So just quit it. And here's the third thing you should say to people. I'm not a garbage can. You guys say that with me? Ready? I'm not a garbage can. Good for you. You should believe it, too. Okay, gossip and slander is absolute garbage. If people are coming to you with gossip and slander, what does that make you? Don't be one of those. You don't want to be full of garbage. Because then it starts playing on your mind. It starts, it's funny. People can be like, yo, what do you think of this person? And they're like, oh. You know, even that, it's like, oh, what's wrong with this person? It's amazing how we can so affect the perceptions of people about other people simply by just our responses to who they are. Let's just love people. Let's give people the benefit of the doubt. If we want that for ourselves, let's make sure we treat other people the same way. And there's this proverb. It's Proverbs 16 through 19. I don't have this one, but it's okay. And basically it says there are six things that God hates. The seventh is an abomination to him. And it goes like this. It's haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, feet that make haste to run to evil, a heart that devises wicked plans. There's a sixth one. But the seventh is what I want to focus on. The seventh is an abomination to God. And I think in the church, oftentimes we make the abomination or the cardinal sins, the sexual sins, but there's none of that here. And this is what he says about the seventh thing that God finds to be an absolute abomination is one who sows division among the brethren. It's when we're cutting people off and bringing people down, and we're sowing discord. And this person's less than me. That person, the line is drawn right behind me, and that person's a terrible person. When we are causing division within a family, within a body, within a church, within an organization, when we cause division, we're so guilty of this abomination. This is what God absolutely hates, because he's a God of love and he's a God of relationship. God dwells in plurality. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, he dwells in relationship. He hates it when he sees relationship broken up. You guys good? And so think about this. The gossip you are sharing is more of an abomination to God than the crime you're sharing about. Okay? The gossip you're sharing is more of an abomination to God than the crime you're sharing about. This is what God is. God is a God of love. He's a God of relationship. Okay? You guys good? You guys with me? All right? You know, the world is not going to know you're a disciple of Jesus by your love for Jesus. The world is going to know that you're a disciple of Jesus by your love for one another. We have work to do as a church, and it starts with us. And let's just make sure that we guard our tongues. Amen. The golden rule is so important. You know, it's about treating people the way you want to be treated. Let's be loyal to those that are in our lives, our children, our spouses, those who have sacrificed and been so selfless in our own lives. Let's be loyal to that. But beyond that, it's about treating people the way you want to be treated. But here's the thing, is that sometimes we don't treat ourselves really well. Sometimes we do something stupid and we're like, idiot, what was I thinking, right? And you call yourself that. And so sometimes we don't treat ourselves very nicely. And so if you don't treat yourself nicely, there's a good chance you're not going to treat other people very nicely. But hopefully, you treat your kids well. Or at least you want what's best for them. And I've titled this message, The Golden Rule on Steroids. So, and it works like this. Because what amazes me is that I'm fine if someone doesn't like me or if someone speaks ill about me. I'm okay. But if someone speaks ill or hurts one of my kids or my wife or those that I'm loyal to, I'm not okay. You guys good? Okay? Like, if you mistreat my kids, don't pretend everything's okay between us, because it's not. Okay? I don't want your money. I don't want your gifts. We're not going to hang out. We're not going to be buddy-buddy. This is not how it's going to work. You guys good? All right? Just so you know, now you're all like, oh, don't mess with Sean's kids. You definitely don't mess with my kids, all right? But instead of treating people the way you want to be treated, this is why there's a golden rule on steroids. Maybe it would be better if we treated one another the way we would want our kids to be treated. You guys with me? Sometimes we just don't treat ourselves well. Maybe if we looked at other people like that's somebody else's kid. You know, if I want people to respect my time, I'm going to respect their time. If I want people to respect my no, I'm going to respect their no. If I want people to go the extra mile for me, I'm going to go the extra mile for them. If I want people to respect my kids, I'm going to respect their kids. I'm going to honor them. Sometimes the way we honor the parents is by honoring the children. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 5, 23, 24, so if you're offering your gift, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. It's as if God, his dad, is saying, listen, I love you. Great, wonderful gift. I don't want it right now. You go make right with your brother first. Then come back, and then we'll talk about this gift. But I don't want you, I don't want to be, this whole buddy-buddy, here's a gift, God. No. You messed up with your brother. Go fix things with your brother first, and then come, and then offer your gift. This is how this works. The way you treat God's children, it matters. And keep in mind that Jesus Christ, he died for everyone. He didn't just die for your sins alone. 1 John 2:2, he is the atonement for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Everybody is somebody for whom Christ died. And if everybody is a somebody for whom Christ died, then everybody is somebody that Jesus loves. You guys with me? You know, and this, it works the same way, you know, two years ago, my wife and I and our kids were visiting my wife's brother, Simon, my brother-in-law, down in Atlanta, Georgia. And we're down there, and he's got three kids, and his oldest son, Tristan, he's a year older than my son, Judson. And he takes us, my brother-in-law, he takes us to this big park, and it's this huge park. This church had put a big park and opened it up to the public. And my kids are playing, and his kids are playing. They're all having a good time. And my son runs up to this boy, and I was too far away to hear what the boy said, but he said something to my son that clearly my son got really upset about, and he shoves my boy a little bit. And I'm like, Papa Bear comes out, right? I'm like, oh, my gosh. But to his rescue, my nephew, Tristan, runs up, jumps in between this bully and my boy, and just looks up at him, and I don't know what he said. He didn't even get physical, but he just goes, rah! And just gets so upset at this kid and just comes to my son's rescue. I was like, that's my nephew, right? Like, I've always loved my nephew, but man, I would have bought the moon for him that day, okay? Because I was just so, I mean, that's if you're going to be kind to my kids, man, it's just like when you honor someone's kids, when you're kind to someone's kids, man, you're kind to the parent. You're kind to the parents. That's just how this works. The same thing happens with our neighbor across the street. He's got this little boy. He's 10 years old. He comes over. He just walks into our house, you know, takes food. And I'm like, okay, he's like one of our kids now. But, you know, he comes over. And I see him with his arm around my son. And he's like, he goes, I love you. He's like, we're brothers. And I was like, man, if you're for my kid, I am for you. Like that, and that's how it works. And like because I'm your brother, Pop-Ups is my Pop-Ups too. And so, because Pastor Phil, he's called Pop-Ups. He's like the granddad of the whole church. But that's the way this kind of works. It's just like when we love other people, when we get the horizontal right, that's how we get the vertical right. You know, it's the way we treat other people, and sometimes our perceptions of people are just so off. We just see them for their driving skills, or we just see them because they park the grocery cart in the middle of the aisle. But that's not who they are. They're people that God actually loves. That's why I have a lot of work to do when I go grocery shopping, okay? It's like, you know, when they see that, I'm going to recognize that, you know what? That person is a person that God loves. That is God's child, and I'm going to treat that person as if they are God's child. Because when I honor the children, I am honoring the Father. You know, we don't, and if you take anything home, take this home. We don't love God and love people. We love God by loving people. Okay? That's how he makes it. You can't say you obey the first. You can't say you love God but hate your brother. It doesn't work that way. The way that you use what you do to the least of these, you did it to me, Jesus said. And sometimes our perception of other people is just off. We don't recognize the potential. We don't see that this is someone for whom Christ died. Everybody is somebody for whom Christ died. Because of that, everybody is somebody that Jesus loves. Let me just close with this. We have the worship team come on up. This is Philippians 2. Philippians 2 is verses 1 through 11. And it's in the Message version, so it plays it off a little bit differently than a regular Bible would. But just listen to this. And he goes, if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Please. I added the please. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and he took on the status of a slave. He became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life. And then he died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever. So that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow and worship before this Jesus Christ and call out in praise that he is the master of all to the glorious honor of God the Father. And Jesus, he comes and he actually humbles himself. He takes on the status of a slave. He serves people. He loves people. And from that, God honors him because he honored them. When you honor people, you're honoring God. When you honor God, God honors you. This makes sense. And so let's just recognize everybody is somebody that Jesus loves. Let's recognize, and sometimes we just have to change our own perspectives of people. It's a hard thing, loving people. It's not easy because this is the Jesus type of love. But may you lead the world forward. Amen. Let's stand. Let me pray for you.